Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. A few weeks ago, I had a CSI-type dream, and it was this innocent man was, it seemed like he was being framed for something that the bad guys were doing. And it got to some point where the bad guys then knocked him down. And one of the guys with just this wicked face and this voice, that just he kind of this devilish cry. He said, "It's too late for court." And then I kind of woke up and it was like, "Huh, interesting." And it seemed like it was too late for court, so they were going to kill him. It was as I woke up and I began to ponder and think about it. Court, things weren't working out. The plan that they had, the strategy that they had to frame him and everything, something must have gone sideways and sour. And so it was like, okay, forget about court. That's not going to work. We're just going to kill you and just get it all over with. And I was like, okay, interesting. And so as I began to ponder and think about this, the Lord reminded me of this sound. He said, "There's a sound that changed everything." I thought, oh yeah, I remember that sound. And so we're going to talk about that sound a little bit later on. But before we get there, I want to just remind us where we've been. Okay, we've been talking about justice. The just shall live by faith. And then we started out talking about investigating righteousness. Investigating righteousness, which means to right standing, all right, rightness, innocence, not wrong, just, upright, lawful, justice, justify. Prosperity, to clear self and to make right. So in his presence, we are clean. In his presence, we are clean in his eyes. Therefore, we can stand in God's presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed. Isn't that good news? Never. As if it never did. It did, but it's as if it never did because of what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. And then we see in 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans chapter 5, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have been passed away. All things have become new. And we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that we were made righteous because by faith. We have been justified by faith and have peace with God. And that means that we have been reconciled to God and restored to divine favor. What does that mean? That means God's not mad at us. He's not mad at us. He's not holding anything against us. Religion, we talked about, pushes us to act right without being made right, to have an outward expression without an inward change. And so we talked about this, about being made the righteousness of God, and we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So that means we now have an inward change of heart that now reveals itself in outward expression. So now we can now then act right because we have had an inward made right change. Amen. We actually have some substance on the inside of right, so we can act right. Religion pushes us to act right without any inward change. But now we've been made the righteousness of God. We can act right. Matter of fact, the Amplified says it this way: a correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. All because we have been made the righteousness of God. Then we talked about justice. The God of justice. He said justice. He said he will come. He will come, set things right, put things right, and make things right as we seek him. He will come and rain righteousness on us. And we talked about vindication. The word vindicate means to clear of blame, to show and prove to be right, innocent, and not guilty, justified. And Jesus is our vindicator, and he will vindicate us. He has championed our cause and established justice for us by becoming our substitute and our redeemer and giving us salvation. Hallelujah. And then experiencing justice. We talked about that there are action steps of lifestyle that position us to experience things, right things, where God is able to set things right, put things right, and make things right. So there are lifestyle things that we can do to experience or position ourselves to be vindicated. Hallelujah. We talked about those a few weeks ago. And then last week, Resurrection Sunday, we talked about resurrection. Resurrection. Hallelujah. And the Lord is our vindicator. And He is our, He's our source. He's our strength. He is resurrection. Resurrection. And we found out that the interesting thing about resurrection is it is a result of, and it happens after death. So we must continually declare the same thing Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. So we must continually die to ourselves or to just our own way of doing things and continually choose God's way. God's way. Walk with Him, follow Him. His way is the way that we go. Hallelujah. We choose the Word way, God's way, the Kingdom of God way. And so here we are today. I want to talk about being justified by faith. So before I get to the sound, again, we are justified by faith, so we must talk about faith. We're going to talk about justice. We're going to have to get into this faith thing a little bit more again. We enjoy justice as a result by faith. It is by faith that God is able to set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life. It doesn't just happen. We would just love it for it just to happen, but it doesn't just happen, right? It doesn't just happen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. This is Abraham. The Lord comes down. He's wanting to take inventory of a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham verse 22 says, and Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham, verse 23, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Here's the question I want us to hear, and we're going to launch off from here. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And you know the story. He actually continues to make requests all the way down to 10. But apparently, he figured there would be 10 in Lot's family, but there wasn't 10. They were compromised. And so Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But God brought Lot and a couple of his daughters out of town. He didn't destroy them. And his wife, but his wife decided to turn back. She disobeyed God. She was destroyed. God is always going to position us for blessing, protection, and safety. We, as the righteous, will never suffer the results of the wicked. Isn't that good news? Never. Far be it from you, verse 25. To do such a thing as this is to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Absolutely. Absolutely. He will always take care of us. That's good news. Always take care of us. We're not going to be treated like the wicked. We're not the wicked. We're not going to suffer the consequences of the wicked. Now, if we act wickedly, that's a different story, right? The wage of sin is death for everybody. And if we sow wicked, we're going to reap wicked. We sow bad, we're going to reap bad. We just can't we can't escape the law of seed time and harvest. But if we continue to walk as the righteous, we're going to get justice. We're going to get vindication. Amen? So, shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? The answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes. Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, and let's go ahead and verse 17. Start in verse 17. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons. Verse 19 is where we want to focus on here. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. But that all happened because of verse 19. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him or tried him. So, what is that word? Until the time that his word came to pass, the word, Psalm 105, verse 19, the word was the dream. Remember, Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And that dream, until the time that the dream came to pass, the word or the dream from the Lord tested him or tried him. See, people have this statement. You know, you preach the word of God to them, you teach the word of God, you explain the word of God, you proclaim the word of God, you give them the word, and some people say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Have you heard that before? Someone said, I tried that and it didn't work. That's a lie. Just to be real straight about it, it's a lie. What's the truth? The truth is the word tried them and they didn't work. That's what this scripture is telling us. The word tried Joseph. Joseph was on trial. Was he going to give up on the word? Was he going to give up on the dream? Or did he hold to it? Did he believe it? Did he walk with God until it came to pass? Until things were set right, put right, and made right? See, if we want justice in our lives, we're going to have to push all the way through. We're going to have to pass the test. Say, pass the test. Pass the test. That's the only way you got into grade 2 was you passed the test in grade 1. That's how you got into grade 3 and grade 4 and grade 5. Promotion always comes by passing the test. Say, passing the test. Passing the test. Passing the test. It's just the way it works. Cause and effect. Seed time and harvest. This is how it works. This is how way God set it up. So if we want to experience justice and vindication in our lives, we're going to have to pass the test. So there's none of this, I tried that and it didn't work. No, it tried us. And we didn't work. So we might be on trial right now. We might be under pressure right now. Let's not give up. Let's not give up. We want to experience justice and vindication in our lives. We don't give up. We don't give up. And the only way we don't give up is we need to learn to how to function and operate by faith. We need to learn how to function and operate by faith. Because if we're going to function and operate by our flesh and by the situation and circumstances and how we feel. If we're going to function and operate by fear, we're going to give up. Because we want to see a result first before we rejoice. We want to see a result first before we believe. That's not how it works. We believe God first. We rejoice. We stick with Him. We refuse to give up. We pass the test and promotion comes. We pass the test. Justice comes. We pass the test. Vindication happens. Amen? So Joseph passed the test. All we've got to do is just read the events of his life. He passed the test over and over and over again, being sold by his brothers and then working for Potiphar and then having Potiphar's wife try to seduce him, and he refused that and she lied about him, and he was thrown into the king's prison, the special prison. And then he worked in the prison and he was promoted in prison, and finally one day he was able to encourage some of the prisoners from the worked for the king, and they left and he said, "Remember me." He interpreted their dreams. And the one guy was killed and the other guy went back to the king and he said, "Remember me when you go back." And he forgot about him until Pharaoh had a dream. And then he goes, "Oh, I remember a guy in jail who interpreted my dream. And, you know, one of the other guys you threw us in jail, I mean, his dream, and both of them came to pass." And Pharaoh goes, "That might be a good guy to talk to. Get a hold of him." Yeah? And so then Joseph got this invitation. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. Justice. Vindication. He made him lord of all his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. It's promotion. Promotion. Hallelujah. But what did he have to do? He had to pass the test. Until the time that his word came to pass, the dream came to pass, the word of the Lord, his dream, tested him, tried him. He was on trial. The word is trying us. We are on trial, not the word. The word is settled forever. Amen? Heaven and earth will pass away, but not even one piece, one dot, one anything of the word is going to fail or come to pass. Fail to come to pass. Hallelujah. So the word is not the problem. If it didn't work, it's because we didn't work. Work is not a four-letter word. Work is not a four-letter word. Work is good. God invented work. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. God invented work. God invented work. We live in a society where the majority of the people don't like work. Majority of people, they're only working because they have to, and they only want to work until they get to that point where I can just retire and no more working, no more working. They're working to retire. They're working to stop. That's not a kingdom principle. It's not in the word. Retirement is not a word. We might retire from a job or for something specific, but that doesn't mean we stop working. We see here Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man," or mankind, "in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Mankind was made in his image. Mankind was made male and female. Verse 28, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion." So, This is what? What is this? This is the blessing released. The blessing released. All right? Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. To tend and keep it, or to guard it. God gave him work. This is the blessing activated. The blessing is released by God's word. He released the blessing into our lives. How do we activate that blessing? How do we tap into the blessing? How do we get the blessing, the empowerment to prosper, to work in our lives? It's called work. We work. God gave him work to do. Work to do. I can get in more into that, but that's not actually part of my message today. God released the blessing with his words, and the blessing is activated or tapped into or begins to operate in our lives through work. Work is not a four-letter word. Work is how we actually activate the blessing in our lives. He's given us, Deuteronomy 8:18, he's given us the power and the ability and the anointing to get, obtain, and make wealth. Right? That's exactly it. The blessing's released. He has blessed us. He's empowered us to prosper. He's given us the power to do what? To get. How do we get? We go get, make, do, work. The blessing needs something to, it needs to be activated by work. We must be doing something for it to operate, to produce in our lives. So, work is not a four-letter word. It is a good word. It's a God word. God invented work. Luke chapter 18. I have been on this portion of Scripture for a few years. It just seems to keep coming back and back and back. And so, anyways, we're just going to get back here again. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. It says, then he spoke a parable unto them, that men or mankind ought to always pray and not to lose heart or to faint. Don't give up. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Make it right. Set things right for me. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, here's these four words that we must never forget. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. Amen. Let's say that together. I will avenge her. Again, I will avenge her. What did he say? He said, I will avenge her. Again, I will avenge her. These are four very powerful words because Jesus makes reference to these words right away. He said, I will avenge her, lest her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. What did he say? I will avenge her. One more time. I will avenge her. Okay, so that's Jesus is making reference. He says, listen or hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Yes, he will. He will. He will. And God will avenge his own elect who cry out to him. Now, the word cry is the word shout. It doesn't mean we cry. It doesn't mean we weep. It doesn't mean we beg. It doesn't mean we shout and yell at him and say, how long is it going to take? What's taking so long up there? What are you doing? How long is it going to be? You know, what's up? What's up, God? What's the problem with you? No, that's not the shout or that's not the cry. We're not begging. It's a shout of faith and praise. It's a shout of faith and praise. Why? Because he will avenge us. We believe what he said. We've got his word on it. We believe what he said. So there is a shout of faith and praise. We lift our voice. The shout of faith and praise because we believe that he's going to do what he said. A shout of faith and praise. I will avenge you. I will avenge you. I will avenge you. I will avenge you. He will avenge us. Amen? Justice is ours. He's going to set things right, put things right, and make things right. He will vindicate us. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not ours. It's his. He's going to set things right. So how do we pass the test? Shout of faith and praise. We believe God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The pressure is going to come to give up. But we want to be promoted. We want to experience justice. We want to experience vindication. We want to have in our lives a testimony of look what the Lord has done. So we just must continue to walk by faith. Joseph passed the test. We too must pass the test. Continuing to shout the shout of faith and praise. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. You wake up in the middle of the night. Instead of letting fear hit you first thing in the face, you go, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you. I'm rich and wealthy in everything. My bank accounts are full and overflow with money. You're liberally supplying everything I need, everything we want, and all of our business and income according to your riches and glory by the anointing of Jesus. Fall back asleep. Every opportunity, if you're going to wake up and the devil's going to attack your mind with something, you just attack it back. Before the devil even has a chance to say, everything's going to be bad. You just wake up and go, glory to God. I had a healthy, strong heart. Glory to God. I got full freedom of motion in my joints. Glory to God. I got clean, clear, smooth, healthy, youthful, hydrated skin. Glory to God. My knees work perfect. Glory to God. Money comes. A given, it shall be given. Take an opportunity. Serve and add value to others. Hallelujah. Just take it on. Whatever scripture verse you laid hold of, just let it go, boop, pop out in the middle of the night and go back to sleep. Devil's going to attack. He doesn't sleep. He's sitting there waiting. Demons are sitting there waiting for you to wake up so they can put some more fear in there. You're going to wake up, speak the word, shout of faith and praise. Woo, glory to God. This is the day that you made. I choose to rejoice. Fall back asleep. Woo, Lord, you're good and your mercy endures forever. Fall back asleep. Woo, you're working all things together for our good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Teach me to profit and lead me in the way that I should go. Hallelujah, I cast the care on you. I refuse to fear. Cast the care on you. I refuse to fear. Fall back asleep. Amen? Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. God doesn't sleep. The devil doesn't sleep. He doesn't leave us alone because we're tired. I'll just leave me alone. I'm tired. Oh, he's going to attack more when I'm tired. Why? Because we might just be a little bit much weaker to resist. The devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about you. Doesn't play fair. He's a street fighter. So, we don't need to play fair with him either. We just play according to the word of God. We have no mercy on him. No mercy. No mercy for him. Amen? You wake up in the middle of the night, pull out the sword of the Spirit, and just swing it around a few times. Then go back to sleep. All day long, just swing the sword. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Just swing it around. Any devil, any demon gets close enough, just get them. Let them get in the way. Don't care about them. Speak the word only, and your servant will be healed. Amen? That's what Jairus said. Speak the word only. That's not what the centurion said. Speak the word only. And Jesus went, wow. He marveled. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Jesus only marveled twice. That was one of them. Wow. Speak the word only. Amen? We want to make Jesus go, wow. Speak the word only. Wake up in the middle of the night. Speak the word only. All day long, speak the word only. Speak the word only. Why? Because we believe it. Speak it only. Hallelujah. And shall not God? He will. God will avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them. Bears long with him. This is what the word bears long is, this Greek word. Patient, long-suffering, and patiently endure. Why is he patient? Why is he patiently enduring? Why is he long-suffering with us? Because we have to pass the test. The Israelites wandered around the desert for 40 years. They kept failing the test and had to keep it taking it over and over and over again. Sometimes our justice is taking longer because we're not passing the test. And so we have to take it over again. Over again. And we may pass the test Sunday morning. Oh yeah, well, we speak the right word Sunday morning. Sunday night, different story. Monday afternoon, different story. Wednesday afternoon, different story. And maybe we get encouraged, you know, Wednesday night service. And we speak good words again Wednesday night. And then Thursday, Friday, all of a sudden, speaking contrary to the word, acting like the devil, getting afraid, complaining and whining. It's not how we pass the test, folks. That's how we have to take it over again and over again. Justice, God is waiting. Though he bears long with us, why is he doing that? Because he's wanting to hear the shout of faith and praise day and night. So we can pass the test and the word can work in our lives. We can experience justice and vindication. How do we do that? Well, verse 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? This is, how do we pass a test? Faith. The shout of faith and praise day and night. The shout of faith and praise day and night. We don't pass the test by having the shout of faith and praise when everything's going well. Passing the test is when we're under pressure to give up and we shout the faith and praise, the shout of faith and praise. That's how we pass the test. You pass the test under pressure. We build muscles. We don't build muscles when we just, you know, are lifting air. The way we build muscles is under pressure, resistance. We want to build more muscle. We want to strengthen our muscles. We lift more weight, or we lift what we do more. Resistance. Resistance creates stronger muscles. You want to get stronger in God, stronger in faith? Resistance. Under pressure. How do we resist the pressure? The shout of faith and praise. We speak and declare what God said. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what it looks like. This is what I say day and night. This is what I believe day and night. This is what comes out of my mouth. I get squeezed. This is what comes out. Now you can tell what's in the sponge by squeezing it. Because what's in the sponge will come out. When the devil squeezes you, what comes out? It ought to be the Word of God. Let's keep filling ourselves up with the Word of God. And you know, being filled up last week is not enough. Because we leak. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but it also goes as we use it. Every time we have the shout of faith and praise and we speak the word, it goes to produce a result. So we must keep filling ourselves up. Faith must keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, because we need to keep feeding on the word of God. We need to keep speaking the word of God. Faith comes and faith goes. It's not enough just to be filled up last week, last month, or last year. We must continually be feeding on the word and excited about it. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I tell you, he will avenge you speedily, verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, see when he comes. That's what we've been talking about. It's time to seek the Lord so he can come and do what? Rain righteousness on us. Right? Set things right, put things right, make things right. We want him to come. And when he comes, he's bringing something with him. He says, when I come, when I enter, I'm bringing something with me to set things right, put things right, make things right. But in order for him to come, we're going to have to pass a test. In order for him to come, we're going to have to walk in faith. In order for him to come, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? So this is an important question. Will he really find faith? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verses 4 to 6. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 4 to 6. And Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs and before Song of Solomon. So, it's a little book. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 4 to 6. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Who do we think we are to go to God and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? How long is it going to take? What's up with you? I mean, God, what are you doing? I wouldn't do it that way. Who do we think we are? Where the word of the king is, there's power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Verses 5 and 6. He who keeps his commands will experience nothing harmful. The word harmful can also be translated bad or evil. He who keeps his command, his word, will experience nothing harmful, bad, or evil. I think we can just stop there. This is not my opinion. I'm not just reading someone's thoughts or opinions or ideas or their theory. Right? This is the word of God. I think we can just stop and go Selah for a moment. He who keeps his command, his word, will experience nothing. Say nothing. Boy, that's something else. Nothing harmful, bad, or evil. Okay, so, I've experienced something bad and I've experienced something evil and I've experienced something harmful. So the next question is why? Right? Now, it's not God's fault. I mean, the verse before says, listen, where the word of the king is, there's power. And who do we think we are to go, hey, what are you doing? He said, anyone who keeps his commands will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment. Though, or therefore, the misery, and the word misery is also translated bad and evil. Okay, though or therefore the misery of mankind is increased greatly. So what do we see here? He says, he who keeps God's word will experience nothing harmful, but nothing harmful, bad, or evil. But listen, if we do not understand, number one, if we don't have wisdom, number two, we don't know how to discern the time and judgment, then we're going to find ourselves in misery. Things are going to be miserable. We're going to experience bad and evil. And matter of fact, it will increase greatly. Okay, so we ought to figure out this wisdom thing. And we need to figure out how to discern what time and judgment is. I mean, what does that mean? Because if we can get wisdom and understand time and judgment and be a doer of the word, we will not experience anything harmful, bad, or evil. But people are constantly experiencing bad and evil. Why? Because they don't understand wisdom, because they don't understand how to discern time and judgment. They got no clue what that is. So let's get into that. The wise man's heart discerns. What does the word discern mean? The word discern means to know, to ascertain by seeing. Observation, recognition, instruction, to be aware, to teach, to understand, to be sure, to perceive, to know, to comprehend, to consider, to be diligent, to discern, and to discover. So a wise man's heart, or a wise person's heart, to be wise, we are going to discern. We're going to recognize. We're going to be aware. We're going to consider and comprehend. We're going to understand. We're going to discover time and judgment. We're not going to be in the unknown. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. That's not wisdom, and that's not discerning. That's where we start. That's where we all start. I don't know. So then what do we need to do? We need to be diligent to discern. We need to start taking action to figure out. Taking action to begin to discover and know and understand and to begin to comprehend, be taught and instructed on how to understand and comprehend and discover time and judgment. What's the word time? The word time is the Hebrew word that means this: due season and now. Due season and now. We must understand and recognize and discover due season and now. Now, here's the thing about due season. Let me say it this way. This might be easier. When is now? Now. Now is present tense. Now is now. So that means due season is future tense. Due season is not now. Due season is somewhere out ahead of us. Future tense. Right? Future tense. So due season, we need to understand due season. And a lot of times we find ourselves in due season and wish it's now. But sometimes we get so stuck and then we're not even paying any attention. We're not having no wisdom. And so we don't even understand if we're standing in the now. It's now, but we miss the opportunity. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, had you not known, I wish you knew the season. They knew the season of their visitation. They didn't recognize. They didn't recognize the time of their visitation. And then Jesus also said this, is because they didn't recognize the time of their visitation, he said the people were like sheep who didn't have a shepherd. They were weary, they were tired, they were beat up, they struggled, they fell, they fainted. They're like sheep without a shepherd because they didn't recognize their time of visitation. He said, wisdom will understand the time, the due season and the now. We need to understand when we're in the due season, not get frustrated when we're in due season. Due season means it's not now. Due season means it's down the road. But we're going to have to pass the test now, today, on our way to due season. We pass the test, we're going to find ourselves in the now. Like sooner or later, one day, due season is going to be behind us and we're going to be in now. And things will be set right, put right, made right. But until that point, we're going to have to shout the shout of faith and praise. We're going to have to speak and declare the word of God. We're going to have to rejoice because of what we believe and not what we see. Because it's due season. Due season is that way. We're moving towards due season. The only way for us to keep moving forward to due season is through the shout of faith and praise. Faith, 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 faith when we keep moving us forward. We believe what God said, even though we don't see it yet. But it's a due season. It's ahead of us. So keep moving forward and don't be distracted. Don't be pushed off the path or the way, the road, with fear and confusion and pressure. If you fall, clean up, get back up and move forward. Don't just stay down and create a comfort zone and not move anywhere, not go forward. We want to experience due season, vindication, justice, where God sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right. Don't settle for anything less than justice and vindication in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. So, time, due season and now. When we get in the now, lay hold of it. Rejoice even more because, it's now. I mean, it's literally, it's now. Now. Woo! See, the thing about faith is now. Faith is now even when we're in due season. Faith is now when we're not even in now. See, that's the thing about faith. If we're waiting to believe until we see it, we're not in faith because faith is now. We believe it now. See, when we get it, we don't have to believe it because we have it. Why would you believe for something you already have? Believing is something you do before you have it. Because when you have it, then you know. Knowing and believing are two different things. When we don't have it, we need to believe we receive. And when we have it, we got it. We know we got it. We just rejoice. Well, you need to rejoice on both sides. We get to rejoice before we have it and when we have it. Amen? Hallelujah. Believe. So, due season, now. We must discern, understand, comprehend, and discover where we're at. Wisdom will do that. And it also says we need to understand, we must discern and understand and discover and recognize judgment. The word judgment in the Hebrew is this, to vindicate, sentence, rights, privileges, and justice. In other words, we must discern, we must understand and recognize, and we must know and perceive and be able to comprehend justice, our legal rights. Amen? The verdict, the sentence, the rights. We have legal rights. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we have legal rights. As children of the family of God, we have an inheritance. It's not because we earned it. Listen, we're just born into the family. It just becomes ours. But in order for us to enjoy it, we're going to have to lay hold of it legally. We must understand what is legally ours. Amen? We must understand what is legally ours. So a wise person will understand where we're at. Due season, moving towards due season, or have we made it to the now? If we're not in the now, we're on the road to due season. And then we also must understand our legal rights. We need to understand who we are in Christ, what is legally ours. Because if it's legally ours, there is no fuss. It's mine. We don't have to earn it. We just need to lay hold of it by faith. Believe that we receive and we shall have. Amen? Now the shall have lets us know that we are on the road to due season. Shall have. Right? Shall have. That means we've not arrived at now yet, but due season. We shall have. And we make it to the now. Justice. Hallelujah. Where God sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. A wise person's heart will discern both time and judgment because for every matter, there is a time and a judgment. Now, the word matter in the Hebrew is this word. It means purpose, desire, pleasure, and delight. For every purpose, every desire, every purpose, and every delight, there is a time and there is a judgment. There is a due season and a now, and there is justice. Justice, vindication. For every matter, every desire, every purpose, every desire that you have. What's your desire? I want to be healed. What's your desire? I want to be rich. What's your desire? I want to have peace. What's your desire? I want to be free from fear. What's your desire? I want to be a blessing to people. What's your desire? I want to draw. What's your desire? I want to play. What's your desire? I want to sing. What's your desire? I want to start a business. What's your desire? What's your desire? I think it was Thomas Edison said, I can help people get anything they want, anything they desire. He says, but most people don't know what they want. They don't know what they desire. How can you help someone get what they want when they don't even know what they want? They know where they're at, A, but if you want to go to B, where's B? I don't know where B is. How do you know how to get there? And how do you know when you get there if you don't even know where B is? It's not even a destination. So it's important, every matter, to every matter there is a time and a judgment. To every matter, to every purpose, to every desire, to every pleasure, to every delight, there is a time. There is a due season and a now. To every purpose and desire and pleasure and delight, there is a judgment. There is legal rights. There is justice. There is vindication. Hallelujah. But what we must understand, what we must be able to discover and discern, what we must be able to see and perceive and know is the time and the judgment. Where we are on this road, is it due season or is it now? Because there's a little bit of an expectation difference in due season and now. Due season, we're expecting to move forward. Now, we're expecting it's time to put the sickle in and reap. It's time to lay hold. Amen. It's now. If it's harvest time means it's reaping time. It's time to work. And we might have worked before sowing, and you know, here's the thing about seed time and harvest. Seed, harvest. What's in between seed time and harvest? Time. Seed, time, and harvest. So how long is this time? We need to understand. The road, is it due season or is it now? Due season or now. Sometimes we can expect, we can cause this road because of our choices. Pass the test and decide I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. I believe God. I don't care if it takes 100 years. Sometimes that shortens the due season because we refuse to give up. No giving up. No backing down. I don't care what comes. I remember Brother Hagin saying there was numerous times. He said, I don't care how long it takes. I'm not backing down. And things happen quicker right away. Right? You just make a choice. Just make a choice. I ain't giving up. I ain't backing down. I'm not whining, complaining about nothing. I'm going to rejoice. The shout of faith and praise. Day and night, day and night, day and night, I just choose to believe God's word. And we can shorten a due season. 11-day trip, 10-day trip, whatever it was in the wilderness, took 40 years. Why? Because they just didn't pass the test. Apparently, it's more up to us than it is to God. We must discern and understand the times and the judgment. All right, justice doesn't just happen. And we are basically out of time. I've got some more scripture, and then I want to, there's no time. Because I am down to 4 minutes, and so we're going to have to unhook here. So next week, we're going to get into the sound. The sound. Talk into the sound, that sound that changes everything. Hallelujah. So the encouraging thing for today is, listen. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So now it's very important that we do our part, because he will do his part. Our part is the faith part. Our part is the shout of faith and praise part. Our part is the pass the test part. Amen? Our part is not to give up. We're the one that's on trial, not the word. The word's not on trial, we're on trial. Are we going to give up, or are we going to stay strong in faith? Are we going to pass the test, or are we going to keep failing it and have to take it again and again and again? Let's just pass it. Let's just pass it. Amen? Let's just pass it. Let's just pass the test. Stay in faith. The shout of faith and praise day and night. And then be wise in our lives, be wise and understand. And begin to discover and understand where we are on the road, due season or now. Due season or now, knowing and understanding that there is justice for us. We have legal rights. We have legal rights. God understands legal rights, okay? So he's not our problem. If we understand our legal rights, then we do our part. To experience, make it all the way to get our justice and to get our vindication. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.